We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless. Limitless.
What's going on, Virtually Limitless Entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless Podcast. And today I'm coming at you with my man, Andrew motherfucking Finnefrog. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do for the people who don't know you, my man?
Man, thanks for having me. My name's Andrew, and you know, depends on how long you want to go, but I mean, the short version is I grew up really, really insecure. I mean, self-doubt, just, you know, lots of trauma, lots of stress growing up. You know, I always felt more mature than everybody around me. And I just really went through school, just super insecure. You know, I got out of high school, played professional music for a while. And, you know, then did sales most of my career. In 2013, I had a big shift where I went into treatment for drugs and alcohol. And that's really where, in my opinion, everything started for me. And I went into treatment and it had to be proven that my thinking was fucked. And, cause I went in there with an attitude. Then I cleaned my life up, made some big mindset shifts, made some big life changes, changed my network. Then I got into real estate investing, had a lot of success doing that. Also had a lot of success spending the money that I made. And, you know, in the last 2.5 years, I've been in coaching and consulting, and that's really, I've been thriving a lot is helping people change their lives, you know, with their productivity, profitability, and their purpose, and, giving people long lasting change, man. And that's the short version. And I love what I do, and I'm really good at it.
Awesome, man. I love that. And I can personally vouch that you are very good at what you do. So what I do want to ask is, you were able to shift from a place where you had to go into treatment, you had to overcome your addiction, you had to overcome all the self-doubt. How did you end up going from there to investing in coaching, which it really has to take a lot of confidence?
Man, that's a great question. So, do you want to hear the story about treatment and where the big shift was?
Yeah.
So, when I went into treatment, I still didn't think that I had a problem. I didn't think anything was wrong. I was actually being quite selfish. I knew the system. I knew that my company that I worked for had FMLA. I knew that, legally they weren't allowed to know where I was, and I was batting zero. But my ego was still telling me that it was all my outside circumstances, but I'm still going to take advantage of the situation and go to treatment, get a 30-day timeout. And so, you know, my first 2 days of treatment were pretty easy because my drugs and alcohol hadn't gotten out of my system. And I was really entitled. And on the second day, man, this is really a big pivotal spot for me, is I was in a room because I had to be in there, and some guy was speaking, and I was in the back of the room entitled, not thinking I belonged there. And this guy started cussing. So I started paying attention. That's the whole reason I started paying attention to him. Cause I was sitting back there like, oh man, I'm not like one of these people, you know, I have an attitude, you know? And the guy says, fuck. So I start paying attention to him. And he said this line, he goes, this disease and, you know, these behaviors and what you're doing will get you to jails, institutions, or death. And Trey, man, I've never been arrested. Like, never been arrested in my life. Now, I should have been. I've broken the law many times. I've driven drunk, and I should have been. I've just never been caught. And so this guy says, this will get you to jails, institutions, or death. And my brain immediately goes, he's not talking to you. And so immediately I was denying what he was saying. And this guy could see it on my face. He could see my entitlement. And he did me a favor. He walked right up to me and looked at me, and he said the five words that will forever have changed my life. He goes, you're in a fucking institution. And then boom, like everything changed for me. I was like, what else have I been lying to myself about? Like, I'm in a fucking institution, sitting there denying it, thinking I'm better than most people. And I'm thinking, I drank on the way here. I took drugs on the way here. And I started seeing everything. And I became fascinated with how much in denial I was, how much I couldn't see. So that was the first part. And then the second part was then my withdrawals started hitting. And to be honest, if I would have known how bad my withdrawals were going to be, I wouldn't have gone to treatment. I thought like heroin withdrawals were the worst, but I was doing, you know, Xanax, a lot of alcohol and a lot of that synthetic pot. So my withdrawals start hitting. I went temporarily blind because my eyes dilated so much. I can't even describe the withdrawals. My mind was screwed. I felt like I had the flu times 1,000. I could barely move. And I was profusely, permanently shaking, like shaking all the time. And it got to the point where I was embarrassed and I was tired of people looking at me. I mean, I'm an overachiever. I'm in the treatment facility withdrawing worse than everybody else in there. Like, I'm the one everybody's looking at saying, I'm not that dude. I'm not that bad. And I kind of got tired of feeling judged. So I go into the bathroom and I look over and there was this let go and let God sign. It's the last thing I saw. And then I looked into the mirror and I could, for the first time, see how pathetic I looked. I mean, it all hit me. Because when I was walking into that bathroom, I was still in the victim mindset. I was, it's not my fault. I was around addiction and alcoholism. You know, I was verbally abused. You know, I was just making all these excuses why I was in there, and it had nothing to do with me. And I was blaming everybody else. And in that moment, like, I was able to see, like, holy shit, Andrew, you're in bad shape. Things are not going very well right now. And then it all hit me at once. I was so lucky to have this moment where I thought, you know, I'm in this situation because of every drug I took, every decision I made, the way I thought. I'm in this situation because of everything that I have done. And it really hit me all at once. And I was like, fuck yes, because that means I can get myself out of this. And so it became a really quick mindset shift. I was happy to accept that it was my, like, it was my decisions. It was my thoughts, patterns, and behaviors that got me there. And it will be my thoughts, patterns, and behaviors that gets me out of it. So I was really, really enlightened at that moment, really quick. And from that moment on, I did everything they told me. I started taking things seriously. And, you know, that's when my journey started. I had to learn how to learn a lesson. And, you know, the question was, how to get confidence? I owned my shit. You know, people think confidence is how you look or how much money you have, but confidence to me is like, are you aligned with who the fuck you are? Right? Are you really owning who you are? And are you aligned with where you really are? Because the truth of the matter is I became confident because I'm confident in my insecurities, right? There's nothing to hide. So I worked through my mindset. I worked through all the ways my mind was lying to me. And I started just looking internally, because here's what most people need to know is people focus on fault too much. Like, whose fault is it? And that never gets anybody anywhere. What really matters is whose responsibility is it to get out of it and make the change?
100%, man. And honestly, taking ownership is one of the scariest but most empowering things that you can do in your life. And it's really hard for some people. And I know we had a conversation about it the other day. Like, I personally have a hard time taking ownership for the good things that I do because of all of the bad things that I've done in the past. And it's kind of incredible, well, incredible in the worst way, how our minds can get in the way and put us in a jail like that. And like, we won't even realize it. You said that you had to literally be snapped out of it. Mm-hmm. And you had to get to the point where you were willing to step back and look in the mirror. And that's what most of us are terrified to do.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and you would ask, you know, how did I get into what I'm doing now? Like, I've always had that gift of being able to communicate with someone in ways nobody else has ever been able to get through to them. You know, I always say, you know, information is only as good as you can get someone to understand it. 100%. And, you know, people are afraid of taking ownership. And what's crazy, just like you were referring to, you know, the ego wants to tell us, all the bad things about us, but then also not let us give ourselves credit for the good things. Like it's crazy. Like if we can, you know, if we have to take responsibility for all the shit we've done, we should have to take responsibility for all the good shit we've done as well.
100%. So going from all of that to coaching other men and working with other people, like, how do you go about walking people through the process of establishing some of that clarity for themselves so that they know what direction they're moving in? Because it's hard to get people to do that.
Man, that's a great question. And, you know, you said direction. And most people are trying to find a destination, but don't know where their starting point is. And so, I'm not a coach for everybody because I'm not going to just co-sign bullshit. But when I onboard clients and I work with people, we have to get a very clear understanding of exactly where they are. And that takes a little time sometimes because we have to really understand, like, what are you thinking? What are you doing daily? What are you doing to cause this? Because just like I give the analogy, like on your, like an app on the maps, like you have to have a starting point to know how to get to a destination. And if you don't know where you're at, you never know how to get where you need to go.
100%. So I'm actually curious, do you have a process that you go through for setting goals, both for yourself and with the people you're working with?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so it's called the C4 method. I apply it to sales. I apply it to problem solving and goal setting, you know, and it's kind of themed of just what we talked about is we have to know where we are to figure out where we're going to go.
Awesome, man. Can you tell us a little bit more in detail what the C4 method is?
Yeah. So here, what it stands for is connection, compassion, confidence, commitment, right? And it's a process we go through that really gets us to understand. And it's a lot of people set goals because they think someone else wants them to do it. And that's why they're never achieved. Because if they're trying to accomplish a goal that they think they're going to get validation from someone else or some other situation, they're not bought in. And then when they do accomplish it, they don't get that feeling of success that they're looking for because it wasn't even for them. 100%. And so that's why the first C is important. Like, connect with what's going on. Is this really what you want to do? Because people think money is going to make them feel better. But what really makes people feel better is when you achieve something that you genuinely want and you're connected with and it feels good for you to do. Because if you go out and make $1 billion and it was just to prove somebody wrong, you're going to be real disappointed when you make that $1 billion.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, I love that you talk about that because the C4 method is like, it doesn't really matter what you apply it to, because whether you're thinking about marketing, sales, relationships, networking, like you need those four things if you're actually going to do it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add some value to your audience, I mean, that sales process is the most effective and most simple sales process ever. And I can kind of walk through it. You know, it's the connection, it's the compassion, it's the confidence and the commitment. I mean, it's so simple. Everybody thinks you have to talk so much when you're selling. And all you do is connect with somebody, relate to them, and then just say, hey, that's the connection. And here's the compassion portion. You say, hey, man, I get it, man. You're going through that. Whatever it is they're going through, whatever problem you're trying to solve, you just say, man, I totally get that. You know, is that something I can help you out with? Oh, of course. You know, then the third, confidence. And you say, look, and now you have to do a good job understanding what the problem is and whatever people are in their field. That's where the connection and compassion portion come in, because that really gives you the good understanding of what the problem is. So you can ethically make sure it's something that you can solve, handle, or fulfill. And the third, all they need is they just need to be certain that you understand the problem and that you're confident that you know how to take care of it or solve it. Right? Never have I ever had to explain exactly how I was going to do it. I just had to give someone the certainty that I knew how to. And the last, man, get them to commit to it. All right, cool. We've gone through this. You know, we've connected. I know what's going on. I've got compassion for you, because everybody needs to feel understood. That's sales right there, is your prospect needs to feel understood. And then they need to be confident that you know what's going on. You know how to help. And then we have to make a commitment to move forward. It's that simple. And everybody tries to out-science it.
100%. So I do want to know, like, how, like we talked about the mindset shifts and like what it took for you to be able to go from in treatment to the real estate investor. But let's talk about from like a 1,000-foot view. What actions did you take to be able to come out and start and become a real estate investor? Because to a lot of addicts, that's it sounds impossible to be able to come out of treatment and then come out and build a real estate business. That's pretty big.
So early on, I had to learn what I knew and what I didn't, right? And so it came into mentorship and coaching. So I can kind of make an analogy. So when I finally had that moment where I'm like, I don't know shit. All I know is I'm in this bathroom and I'm in a bad position. And the way my thinking's been working has got me into this position. I had to completely let go and let other people tell me what I needed to do. I had to release and say, I don't know what I'm doing. And I took that same logic when I got into real estate and I found the things that I was good at. I was great at negotiating, great at with people. You know, I wasn't the best at always finding the deals and understanding which were the good deals. My partner did that. And you know, when he would decide that, then I would sink my teeth into it and I was a negotiating fool, man. I knew how to do that. So what I did is I understood what I was good at and what I wasn't. And I partnered, I took mentorship, I took coaching, because people are where they are and it's a direct reflection of where their thinking is. You're only as far as your thinking is.
100%.
And so I had the humility to let someone else tell me and teach me. And we had a lot of success doing it.
Awesome, man. So why real estate?
You know, I came across a gentleman who we interacted and he said, man, I can see a lot of your potential. And I was just in a position, it was in 2016. I had just gotten out of a really, really bad relationship. I had just made some big commissions on some capital equipment that I sold because I sold CNC machines. And I was like, man, I am going to take some time off. I got into the gym and I had to just really reset. And I came across this gentleman who knew about real estate. And I took a little bit of blind trust. He had shown me he had done some deals and I'd done some due diligence and made sure he knew what he was doing. And I was excited about it. I was excited about being an entrepreneur. I was excited about I hate saying the word freedom because that's really not what it is in entrepreneurship. It's freedom to make the decisions and structure your day, but it's not freedom to not do shit. I came across a guy that knew what he was doing. And then we made some money quick. Like I'm talking 80,000 here, 40,000 here, you know, and I negotiated a $1 million asset in 3 weeks. And dude, it was almost like a high, to be honest. It was so much fun. And you know, that was the beginning of it. Now I also had some projects that went bad and I learned some humility. I learned the lesson in entrepreneurship to not get a little bit overconfident. But to answer your question, it was partnering with someone who knew what they were doing and then finding a good synergy between that person and letting them do what they need to do versus what I needed to do.
I love that, man. And so you took a lot of blind trust in those people. And I've noticed that you have a habit of asking people for that blind trust as well, but you build the rapport and you build it in a way that it's worth giving it to you. So what is your process for building rapport? And like, what is it about these people that makes you trust them?
Man, that's a great question, dude. So just back to my process, it's the connection and compassion portion. So my gift is being able to read people. And so what I do, full transparency, are you talking about when it comes to like coaching and getting someone interested to work with me?
Just in general, it takes a lot of trust to accept somebody as a mentor. And you've had to take on a lot of mentors as well as being a mentor to multiple other people. So I'm curious, what about the other people as mentors made you trust them? And maybe like how you build rapport in a way that gets people to open up based on things you've learned from them, perhaps?
Yeah. So I would say what the people did for me is they made me feel like they completely understood where I was at. Right. And they did a good job explaining, like, and they painted the picture of what it's going to look like. And that's how they built trust with me. Now, how I build trust is, you know, when I'm communicating with someone and I hear something. You know, I'm so good at reading people and I've worked with people for so long. When someone says this, I know that means this. So what I'll do is I'll say, hey, man, I hear you. And I bet you're going through something like ABC or XYZ. And they're like, man, yeah, how'd you know that? And that's how I build rapport is I show people and I prove to people that I understand them and that I have knowledge on how to get them to where they need to go.
Absolutely.
I think the easiest way to build trust with someone is to show them something about themselves that they subconsciously knew, but didn't consciously know.
Agreed. Agreed. It's usually easier to do that than most people think as well. Because most people, almost everybody, even the most successful people that I've met, almost everybody has a blind spot. And if you're able to take an external perspective, usually there is a way that you can provide value to somebody and that you can make that impact on them and that you can build that relationship. So I know how important that mentors have been to you. So when you shifted from the real estate business into coaching, what made you want to do that? Was it you wanting to give back because you had been helped so much by mentors? What was it?
It was that, and I just always had that burning feeling that I was better at it than most, if I'm going to be honest. Every time I'd be in a conversation with someone and I would talk to someone, I was able to get them to see a problem a way they've never seen it before. Like, my ability to communicate with people and get them to understand things differently has always been very apparent to me. And I love working with people. I like seeing people grow. I like seeing the results. I'm very results driven. You know, my mom told me a story about 2 years ago that when I was a kid, she said we lived on a bunch of land and we had neighbors that we just had people around us that weren't as lucky as we were. And I ran up to her when I was a kid. I said, hey, mom, I think I know what I want to do whenever I grow up. And she said, what's that? And I said, I want to build houses for people that can't afford them. And, you know, I've always been someone that cared about people. And I know that people get in their own way. And my goal is to give people just that unstoppable confidence and leadership and leading themselves and their lives and getting them to the next step. Because at the end of the day, it's people that get them where they need to go. And so I focus on solving people's internal problems so they have the external success.
Focus on solving people's internal problems so they have external success. And there's a huge amount of power in that, man, because I think that people forget that there's not really. And I think it was actually Cody Rain that said this to me. He said that we don't actually have business problems. We have personal problems that just get into our business. And so if you're not addressing yourself, if you're not taking care of yourself, then your business is only going to operate as well as you can.
Absolutely. I mean, just think about a simple example. Like, you're dealing with a problem and your brain's like, oh, you know, I can figure this out on my own. Or your brain says, oh, you know, hey, ask somebody for help. That's two different situations. I mean, if we just have the habit of getting analysis paralysis and staying stuck, you know, I think a lot of people try and solve the problem with the problem, right? So we're stressed, we're overwhelmed. We're being hard on ourselves. You know, there's a, you know, everybody does have blind spots and they're called blind spots for a reason, because we can't see them. And so when we keep telling ourselves that we can figure it out on our own, that's the thinking that will prevent us from getting to really, really successful places. I mean, just quick little mind shifts that are just as believable as 2 + 2 = 4, right? We don't even see them because they're so certain to us. But when we get someone to see the outside perspective and say, hey, look, this is how you're working through that, and just show them something as simple as, hey, why don't you ask somebody for help? Or why don't you let someone give you the perspective? You can shrink the time immensely and let someone else's mistake and experience shrink your time and get you where you need to go.
Absolutely, man. So since we're talking about time and getting where you need to go, most people want to rush. Most people want to rush to get where they need to go. And I catch myself doing it a lot too. And you were able to touch on that subject in a way in the last couple of days that was able to help me make a massive shift in the way I look at it. So what is your take on these people that just want to make things happen overnight?
See, that's a perfect example of what we were just talking about. The brain telling us that we can make things happen overnight. That's the problem. Right? Because when we really rationalize what's going on there, if we could make a huge shift, like let's just say someone dealt with self-doubt their whole life, and in one day they could just change that. That means it can go back in one day. Like it's almost it's a good thing to know it takes time for things to develop, because then you get sustainable results. I mean, you can't put on 20 pounds of muscle in a day. You can't lose 30 pounds in a day. And the good news about that is you can't, and when you do sustainable and put the real work in, you get real results. And so most of the time, there's always the answer in the question, like, oh man, I want to do this overnight. And if you did it overnight, it wouldn't be fulfilling either, because you wouldn't have felt like you put the work in anyway.
100%. So I know that you have a men's retreat coming up. Can you tell me what y'all are going to be doing and what the plan is, what the plan is with that?
Yeah, a little 1,000-foot view. It's a men's retreat. We're going to do one in the end of February, and then also one in March. It's going to be a consistent thing, man. It's really connecting with who you are. Like we're going to really work through, we're going to do a lot of adventure, hiking challenges, and like being around like-minded men. It's just so much community. But what we're going to do tactically is we're going to break down, like, what do you want to do? Right. And the second part's going to be, you know, why do you want to do that? And there's going to be a lot of support with me and my partner. And we're going to really work through with people how to connect with themselves, their inner warrior, and really design a plan that works for them. And we're going to have some accountability, and we're going to walk them through how to get to exactly where they want to go. And also with everything going on right now, people are just going crazy over this because it's just a way to connect with other like-minded people. People are lacking, like, connecting with other humans right now. And so there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of adventure, a lot of camaraderie, and it's going to be an awesome experience.
100%. So how are y'all going about having this retreat considering everything that's going on? Like, I know there's probably a lot more to look into and a lot more hoops to jump through at this time to put on an event like that.
Well, it's going to be done on a private property. And, you know, it's going to also, you know, the people that are growth mindset, in my opinion, are going to interpret the situation a little different than most. I mean, there'll be precautions in place, there'll be paperwork, and yes, we'll be safe. But at the end of the day, you know, that's all going to be taken care of. But we're going to be more focused on where we're going and how to overcome things, and really not letting things like that become crutches or excuses, because I think that type of mindset is what holds people back from moving forward.
100%. And I feel like a lot of people, they had their excuses taken away in the last year. Like they're always saying, like, if I had more time, I'd do this. If I had more time, I'd do that.
Yeah.
And then the excuse just became, oh, I can't do that because of what caused me to have the other excuses. Like, I can't do that because of COVID. I can't do that because of this. And it's like, now you're just leaning on another excuse. So how bad do you actually want that thing?
Yeah. And, you know, I've said this whole COVID situation, it didn't really cause a bunch of problems. It just exposed problems you already had. You know, you know, like if you haven't planned for your business to have a downturn, you know, you should have planned for that, you know. And I don't want to be insensitive to people that are in other situations, that there have been a lot of unfortunate situations, and that's kind of a different conversation. But from an entrepreneur business owner standpoint, the name of the game is pivot and adapt and prepare. So yeah, there are some uncomfortable situations, but you know, and that goes back to my whole point to where, when I was in the bathroom in treatment, like, fault is irrelevant. Responsibility is all that matters. So what happened there is I had to realize, let's just say that it wasn't my fault. that I was an addict, alcoholic, and I was in that situation. It is still my responsibility to do something about it. And if someone's going to admit that, and think about this, I'm going to get passionate about this, but if you're admitting that it's other people's fault that you're at where you're at, or any situation, if you're blaming other people, what you're really saying is then they're the only ones that can get you to move your life forward. You're giving them so much credit and so much power. Let that go. Take it back and say, I don't give a shit why I'm here, but I'm going to take responsibility about where the fuck I'm going.
Yep.
That's empowering, man. Like, stop making excuses. I understand it. I've been there. I blamed everybody. And it got me to almost dying from drug and alcohol withdrawals.
Man, can you say that one louder for the people who didn't hear it?
You really want me to say it again? I'm about to, I mean, and you know, and I hate this because here's the deal. I was given the gift of almost dying. Like, our brains are so stubborn that I had to be looking in the mirror, like face swollen, red, looking pathetic, feeling worse than I've ever felt, for me just to consider the fact that I had to do something different. And so, God, if I wish I could just give everybody that moment of that aha moment where they're like, holy shit, I've got to do something. You know, I've been given that gift of just rock bottom. And like, that's why I get so passionate. I just wish I could give that to everybody. If you're listening and you're in a situation, you're there because of your thoughts, patterns, and behaviors, your beliefs, your actions. And guess what? You can fucking do something about it. But you got to get out of that mental cycle of blaming other people and giving yourself permission to co-sign your own bullshit.
You just got to pick up your shit and own it.
Yes. Like, I am so hardcore about, like, I like owning things that maybe I shouldn't even own. Like, because there's always something else I could have done different.
Yep.
And I will say that is the most valuable mindset shift I've ever made, is what did I do to cause this?
100%.
Like, what could I have done to prevent this?
Awesome, man. So I do got to ask now, we've talked a little bit about how you're going to be starting a podcast in the future. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's going to be about and what you're going to be doing?
Yes, sir, man. It's going to be called the Mental Wealth Project. You know, and the three pillars are beliefs, actions, impact. And, you know, I've been passionate about this for a long time because, as we've talked about, like, the more you know about your thinking and how you process makes you the most powerful person ever, right? That's why I talk about being mentally wealthy.
100%.
And so it's going to be designed around giving people the mindset shifts needed to move forward.
Awesome, man. And really, that's what people need right now, especially moving into 2021. This is going to be probably one of the biggest transitional years in general, just recovering from 2020. It's going to be a massive transition for everybody.
Yeah. Because I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, and you've experienced this, you know, someone will come to me and say, hey, you know, I want to make $1 million. Yep. And there's a reason they want to make it, right? And money's great. I love money. I'm going to make a bunch of it, and I'm making a bunch of it, but my relationship with it is healthy. I understand why I want what it's going to do. I don't have that mindset that money's going to solve all my problems internally. Money will give me lots of flexibility and give me resources to give back and help other people and go travel. But even when you're traveling, if you're depressed and you're on a $20,000 vacation, guess what? You're still depressed. Yep. So changing your relationship with money. And that's why I'm just so passionate about calling it the Mental Wealth Project, because if you're not mentally wealthy, you're spiritually broke.
Agreed, man. So I do got to ask you, if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself before you started any of it, like even before you went into treatment, like before you did the business, like what are the things that you would make sure that a younger you knew and understood at this point?
I'm going to say two things. The first thing is the value of being a really genuine, good person. The more I've, you know, escalated in this coaching business among other people, I've found out that there's some fake people out there that are really good at talking about how real they are. And as someone who went through the imposter syndrome and was really hard on myself, if people could realize, or if I could realize, like how valuable I was just by being a genuine person who kept my word, that really cared about people, that separates you from a lot of people. And the reason that's so important is people that are so hard on themselves that think they have to have a certain amount of zeros in their bank account to influence and change people's lives is not true. There's always going to be someone with more money or less money than you. What matters is how you feel about yourself. And if I could just get everybody and myself to realize that you're really valuable, and if you keep your word and you're ethical in your business and you stay strong, you will be successful, because that is a characteristic that a lot of people don't have. And it's so valuable.
Awesome, man.
And the second one would be, I wish I would have asked for help and coaching a lot sooner. You know, I've invested a lot of money in myself, you know, coaching, and it's changed my life.
Investing in yourself is one of the most valuable investments that you can make, but it's also the investment that people are most scared to make most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you think about it, when you invest in you, like the dividends and payback are just almost unquantifiable, because those shifts you make pay dividends for the rest of your life. It's the strongest investment, and it's the most profitable investment you can ever make.
100%. You should always gamble on yourself. When I first started my business, I'll never forget, like, the majority of my network is like I built like initially is because I took one trip to Dallas, went to a networking event, and I made sure I shook every single hand in that place. And I put the entire trip on my credit card. And before I came back, I had contracts lined up to cover it. So,
dude, that's so crazy.
Investing in yourself is always the most valuable thing you can do.
Yeah, man. I did the same thing. When I invested in myself, I put it on a credit card, and it wasn't cheap, man. It was thousands of dollars.
Yep.
But that investment got me out of debt, right? And when I was going through that money lesson, I was dealing with a lot of self-doubt, guilt, and shame when I got myself into debt. So I tried something. I made myself uncomfortable. I went to a conference. I paid the extra $1,000 to be in the VIP section with people. And I did this. I told myself, I'm going to tell every single person about my money lesson that I'm learning and the debt that I have. And I'm going to make the conversation about them and listen and find something unique about them. That was my strategy. And I'm telling you, every single person I talked to was like, oh my God, Andrew, your debt was 60, 90,000. Mine was a $500,000. Other person, mine was 2 million. Mine was 5 million. My debt was this. My money lesson was that. And then I made the conversation about them, like, man, what do you do? How can I do business with you? And that's what really helped me work through my confidence, knowing that I'm not alone. And it's like, now this money lesson is almost like a badge of honor, or like a stripe on my back. That's like, I've done it too. And I'd rather learn that lesson on 60 or 90,000 than millions, because it was one of the most profitable lessons I ever learned. So, man, you get me really passionate about these subjects, but I did the same thing. I made myself vulnerable. I told the truth. And I'll tell you what, for people listening out there, being vulnerable and telling the truth to someone who's extremely successful, they'll appreciate it, because they didn't get where they were by being fake.
100%, man. 100%. And I like that you kind of brought it back and you humanized a lot of these people that people mm-hmm. see as successful again, because we have this tendency of seeing these millionaires, billionaires, influencers, celebrities, speakers, like we have this tendency of putting them on this pedestal when in reality, they've been through it too. Like a lot of the things that we're dealing mm-hmm. with right now, they had to deal with at some point or another. And in reality, believe it or not, they're probably dealing with a lot of the same problems you are at this very moment, mm-hmm. slightly different way.
Yeah, man. And you know, there's a lot of good people out there. And one of my favorite quotes I heard from a boss a long time ago, he goes, you know, these people didn't make a lot of money by being mean to people. And you know, in this day where there's so much social media and there's so much exposure, if you're an asshole, you're fake. You know, the majority of people that have made a lot of money, like they earned it. I mean, and it's hard to do. And it, you know, I've been around some people that have made a lot of money, and man, I don't have that feeling of inferiority anymore. I think, wow, like, good for them. Like, I know they work their ass off for it, because I still believe you can drive a Ferrari and be humble.
You can. I've some of the most humble people I've met have everything that you'd imagine, but they're also usually not the ones cramming it in everyone's face on social media either.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wanting to drive your dream car. Like, yeah, it's fun. Like, anybody that has a problem with someone driving a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, like, ask them, would you have one? Fuck yes.
That's always the answer. I've never gotten a no when I've asked somebody that, ever.
Yeah. And honestly, here's the other crazy thing. I had somebody ask me, like, if someone were to give me a Lamborghini, would I want it? And my answer is no. Because I now understand, like on my backdrop, I've got a $1.6 million cigarette boat. And that's a goal of mine. And it will be awesome when I drive that boat for the first time. But I want to earn it. And it's about the boat and it's about the car, but it's not. It's about the person you have to become to be able to just go purchase that. Because the person you are now versus who you are when you reach those goals are two totally different people.
They are. It's not about the car. It's about the journey to get the car.
Yeah. I'll give you a simple example. Like, you know, a Rolex, for example, a lot of people want to buy a Rolex. It means something. They've done a great job marketing that once you buy a Rolex, like, it's a staple, you know, in the business world.
Yep.
But if we were to just give someone a Rolex, man, it would dilute that feeling.
Yeah.
It would just feel like you're wearing, and for me, it would feel like I was wearing fraud. You know, like, I would, like, for me, because so during my money lesson, I learned I was buying watches and all that stuff. And the one thing that I've kept is my $500 Mont Blanc pin to remind me of when I was buying this junk and this stuff that didn't matter. Right. And so when I change my relationship with money, it's about the person you become when you do those things.
Agreed. And, you know, it's kind of a shame because we see a lot of people in the online business space that leverage these symbols that we have as badges of honor, when in reality, a lot of these people are just going out, putting it on their credit card, renting the car, and then making advertisements and moving on, because we do have that psychological tie to those objects.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. 3 years ago, I looked like I had a lot more money than I do now.
That is not the first time I've heard that either.
Yeah. And for me, you know, since I've just made the shifts, I mean, I'm more financially well off than I've ever been. And I almost feel uncomfortable saying that, but it's just true. Like, I don't need a watch or something like that to make me feel valuable. But now, what I, you know, am I going to buy later in my career a $1.6 million boat? Fuck yes. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to donate money. That doesn't mean I'm not going to give back.
Yeah. But you have that certainty that's going to allow you to, you're building the certainty that's going to allow you to make those decisions, build those things while still giving back and feeding your people. So there's a huge,
yeah, man. Yeah, man. I now look at money differently. Like, I put it aside. I put it here because I'm like, just like this COVID situation, you got to be smart, you know. Yeah. And I have money stashed away to reinvest in myself. If I see something, you know, I have a coach now, you know, I'm always learning. I want to reinvest in me and other things that are going to push me forward. As I can tell you this, a watch never made me any more money.
100%.
So
it's never really going to either. I think that's just a story people tell themselves, because I do know a lot of people where they think, like, I have met people before where they say if they get the Rolex, they're gonna close more deals. And it's like, I don't think that's how that works, buddy.
It may work that way, but I think the people that are really in a good position to move their life forward aren't gonna focus on that. They're going to do a good job understanding what they want. And then the people they bring, bring in to invest in, they're going to do a good job making sure that that person understands what they need, as opposed to just having a watch. Cause look, honestly, that might even, I mean, that's just how that works. That's a good fit. If someone just wants a Rolex, the person wearing the Rolex can teach them how to do it. Yeah. I put it on a credit card, go get a credit card and go get a Rolex. You know, they can teach them how to do that, you know? But that's not what I'm looking for anymore, man. Let me ask you this. I want to ask you a question. What's one of the biggest lessons you learned when it came to money and humility and that whole game of entrepreneurship? Where was that big shift for you?
What was the big shift for money in the entrepreneur game? I started looking at it as an energy. I started looking at it as another form of energy and an amplifier rather than just as a means of getting what I wanted. Cause I used to just see money as a means of getting what I wanted. Now I see money as a means of establishing certainty, getting freedom, and being able to make more stronger choices. And it's not really about flaunting money. It's about being able to have certainty in myself, not other people thinking, oh, he's got money.
So, yeah.
That was the biggest shift for me, probably.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's what separates the good versus the bad people that have good intent. You know, when I was selling capital equipment, I was selling CNC machines. And I remember my first PO for a machine that was $1.1 million. And most people would have calculated their commission. The first thing I thought to myself was, wow, what a compliment. They believed in me so much. They wrote a PO. Because it was a very complicated machine. It was for this very huge oil company. And I was newer to the business and I didn't know a lot about the machines, but I researched and I made sure everything was in line. And then I got this PO for $1.1 million. And I was like, wow, these guys felt like I was worth investing $1.1 million. So I took it as a sign of respect and a compliment. And I enjoyed that. When most people would have been like, how much money am I going to make on this machine? Right. And so that's why I feel like I've always been vested in serving others, because it's about, yeah, you're right. I like it when people trust me.
Yeah. It's a completely different shift, but man, I know we both got things we got to get to today. So I do want to make sure that I ask you, what is the best way for people to see more of you and get involved with you?
Instagram is usually the easiest for people to connect with me. I mean, I like for people to shoot me a message. I like to have real conversations and interact with people. So I would say, shoot me a message on Instagram. It's at Andrew Finnefrock, AndrewFinnefrock. That's how I like to start conversations. I mean, I have a website, but I really like to interact with people. And for those listening, if you're thinking about reaching out or have any questions, you know, don't be afraid. Like, I'm here to serve and help out. So please reach out, because that's why I'm here. That's what I do.
Awesome, man. I'll make sure that your Instagram link is in the description of this podcast when it goes out, which it should be in the next few days or so.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for your time. You have a very just raw, real, and relevant perspective on everything that just people really need to hear.
Thanks, man.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.